Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
What I want to do is start off by saying this to you. We talk about destiny and purpose very often because it is so important for us to understand that God has created us for a purpose. He has a plan for our lives, that you are not here by mistake. The Bible says that I knew you long before you were formed in your mother's womb, in Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah's case, he said, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now, in your case, it's something different. Perhaps you are called to be a prophet. I don't know. But every one of us has been created for a purpose. And right from the get-go, I want to explain something to you. That purpose is very important. The primary reason why you exist is to give glory to God. You have been created for His glory. A prophet, why would a prophet be called? To do what? To give glory to God. Why would an athlete be called to be an athlete? To give glory to God. The Bible says that the goodness of God leads to repentance. His goodness, His mercy, who He is, leads to repentance. And who you are and who you've been created to be gives you the ability to show off who God is. That's a pretty big deal. Every single one of us have been created with purpose. And as I said, that primary purpose is to give God glory, to show who He is. So what He does is when He creates you with purpose in mind, knowing where He desires you to go and knowing the purpose and plan He has for your life, He does something remarkable. He gives you gifts. He gives you gifts. These gifts have been given to every single one of us. None of us have the same gifts, but every one of us have been given gifts. These gifts have been given to us so that we can once again show who He is through our gifts. Every one of us, including everyone in the world, has been given those gifts to show who He is. Let me give you some scripture. Are you guys okay this morning? We're going to have a great time in the house of God. James 1:17 says, every good gift. Everybody say every gift. And every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So God has given every single one of us gifts. Look at 1 Peter 4, verse number 10. Now watch. As each one has received a gift. Did you see that? Each one. That means everyone has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. What did it say there? So we've been given gifts for one purpose, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. God has given every one of us, without exception, gifts. What happens is many of us think, well, you know, I don't have the gift of prophecy, and I don't have the gift of this, or I don't have spiritual kind of gifts. Well, the fact is that God didn't only create us with spiritual gifts, but spiritual gifts are a part, and the Holy Spirit will give those gifts as well. But God has given us many different kinds of gifts. Let me give you an example from the Old Testament. Exodus 35, verse number 30. Exodus 35, verse number 30. And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. To design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach in him and Oholiab, the son of Ashesemech of the tribe of Dan. Man, that word. He has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and the designer and the tapestry maker in blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works. It gives a description of incredible gifts that are given to these individuals who, by the way, are named in Scripture. Their names are written in the Bible and will always be read for eternity. And what did they do? They made stuff out of gold. They were tapestry makers and they had the ability to do this incredible workmanship. God gave them unique gifts that may not seem so spiritual, but were important to him. Why? Because through these gifts, his glory came. Every gift you have comes from above. Every talent, ability, gift that has been given to you comes from the Lord. There are different kinds of gifts. There are spiritual gifts. For example, we see gifts of words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy, all that stuff. But there are also gifts in the Bible like mercy and hospitality, leadership. There are even gifts of giving. But there are people out there that God uses to do all kinds of things. If you're a golfer, perhaps you're a golfer, you can play golf. But not everybody has a gift to play golf. Some people think they can play golf. I'm one of those. Ask Scott Cooley, he can tell you the story. It was pretty scary. So you may even be very good at golf, but someone who has a gift stands above, has been set apart with that gift. Sometimes you'll see someone, for example, who's a singer, let's say, and God has given them a gift. Now, the reality is everyone can sing, some in the shower, okay? But not everyone has a gift to sing, but God has given them a gift. There are people in business, they have a gift to close deals. They are wise in their business gifting. They are amazing at structuring things and having vision and setting the company in order. God has gifted them that way. Everybody has a different gift. Guys like Tim Tebow, who are athletes, who use the gift that God has given them to glorify God. Those gifts were given to him by God. God has given us gifts. Watch this. Proverbs 18:16 says this, "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men." How many of you know the story of Esther? What was so great about Esther that got her before the king? Her beauty. It was a gift that God had given her, but she used her gift the right way. It's very quiet in Vero Beach. That's okay. Now, how do we get gifts? How do all of us come to find out what our gifts are? Well, the first way we get gifts is people are born with gifts. Some people just have an ability or a gift that they're actually physically born with. For example, a lot of people that can sing, they're born with that gift. Some people have talents, like athletic talents, they're born with that gift. Some people just from young are like lawyers. They just have this ability to negotiate. They're gifted in that area. They're born with that gift. And those gifts will be developed as they grow up. The second area where many people get gifts is actually a very interesting one. Because if you go to Matthew 25:14-29, now don't go there. Matthew 25:14-29, we see the story of the talents. where God has given gifts to men, but what they do is they cultivate, they use those gifts, and God actually multiplies those gifts and gives them more gifts. So just for the sake of illustration, somebody who can sing begins to use their gift for the glory of God. What God then does is he gives them multiplication. Now they begin to write songs. Now they begin to play an instrument. Now they begin to use their gifts even more and more the way that he wants them to use it. If you use your gifts, God will multiply and give you more gifts. Listen, you might be sitting on the next Billy Graham as a child. Be the greatest mom that you can be. God may have given you a child that's a gift, and you now have to nurture and raise up that child. If you do it wrong, you're going to mess it up. Hello? Okay, let's not go there. Amen. So we see that gifts increase as the Lord so wanting to release them if we use our gifts. Now, some gifts are given from the laying on of hands and prophecy. 1 Timothy 4:14 says this, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership." Now, this speaks primarily of spiritual gifts. Remember, God gives you gifts and talents from when you're born, but these kind of gifts, spiritual gifts, often come from the laying on of hands. Let me give you an example. Peter had to go to Cornelius's house. He had to be there. Now, he didn't lay hands, but it was while he was there that the Holy Spirit came upon the Gentiles for the first time. That didn't just happen. It had to take place. We see throughout New Testament scripture, laying on of hands, giving gifts. Paul says to Timothy, don't neglect the gift that's been placed on the inside of you. These are gifts that you get given. So we see that we're born with gifts. These gifts are given to us by God from when we are born. We can develop and nurture our gifts, and he gives us more gifts. And then we also see that we can get gifts from the laying on of hands. All these gifts are given to us by God with purpose. He doesn't just give them to us because he feels like it. He does it because he really has a purpose for it. But before we get into the purpose, let's talk about the two primary types of gifts that God gives you. Because in the Bible, we see two primary Greek words that are used to describe gifts. The first gift comes from the word charisma. Charisma. That is the Greek word for gifts almost 90% of the time in the Bible. This word in the Greek means a gift of grace, a gracious gift, that which is freely given and graciously given. In fact, the root word for charisma is the word charis, and the word charis is the word grace. So charisma gifts, or gifts that are given to you when you are born, as you grow in the Lord, as the gifts of the Spirit come upon you, as he gives you more gifts freely, as you nurture and develop your gifts, those are charisma gifts, charisma gifts. Really, they are given to you by grace. Freely given. Why? For his plans, for his purposes, for his desires, so that you can bring him glory. He doesn't give them to you for you. He gives them to you for him. In the world, people have been given gifts by God. They use those gifts for themselves. They use them for fame. They use them for money. They use them for all that stuff. Now, that's not necessarily evil, but they're not bringing glory to God. They're not using their gifts the way God intended them to be. Come on, guys. Almost all the gifts that are in the Bible that we see are charisma gifts. Let me give you a couple of examples. Romans 12:6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. 1 Corinthians 7:7. For I wish that all men were even as I myself. But each one has his own gift. Say his own gift. Say my own gift. From God. One in this manner, and another in that. Those are charisma gifts. When you use the gifts to bring glory to God, things will begin to take place in your life that is incredible. Okay? Now, there is one other type of gift spoken of, and I'm not going to get into this morning, but in the Bible, we see in Ephesians 4, verse number 8, it says this. It says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. In verse 11, it speaks of these gifts. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. The word for gifts there in verse 8 is the word doma. And that word speaks of another kind of gift, but really it's more of a position, and that position carries authority. Let me give you an example. Okay, now we see this in the case of in the church, pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists. Those are grace gifts that have been given to these individuals to equip the body of Christ. They are not anything special. They have been given to God like every, by given by God like every other gift. But these are doma gifts. Now, if you're a parent, you are operating with a doma gift. Your children can have charisma gifts. They may even be very gifted and even anointed in their gifting. They can fly off the roof. They are so clever. They get the highest grades. But the fact of the matter is, regardless of what they do, they are still working with charisma gifts. You are the parent and they are not the parent. That position that you hold gives you authority to be their parent. Amen. That's the doma gift. I was saying to the earlier crowd, even like someone like a police officer, that authority, that position gives them a certain amount of authority to carry out a function. In the body of Christ, we have pastors, teachers, prophets, and evangelists. Those functions have been given by God. They carry a certain amount of authority to help equip the body of Christ. That's the function. All men will prophesy, but not all men are prophets. Where you have a problem is when you're trying to run a church or do something in the kingdom and you don't have a doma gift doing it, you have charisma gifts trying to do a doma gift's job. Because a doma gift has been given grace in that area. Your gifting, listen, if I sing, you know, it's really interesting. That's not my gift. I mean, I think God sees my heart and my poor wife. She doesn't like me whistling. I don't know why. I whistle in tune and everything. But I just hear, don't whistle all the time, you know. Clearly, it's not a gift, you know. I think it's a gift, but it doesn't matter what I think. But where God has gifted me and has given me grace in that area to operate in that gift, I must do it with everything I have. Same as you. God has given you charisma gifts to fulfill your function in the body of Christ, every single one of us. Amen. Don't get mad at me. It's in the Bible. Now, why has God given us gifts? One of the reasons is that God has given us gifts to fulfill the call that is on our lives. One of the other reasons is that God has given us gifts so that we can bring, listen to this now. We can bring a separation, or we can bring the supernatural to the natural. Bring the supernatural to the natural. Your gifts are almost like conduits, if you want to call it that, that will bring the supernatural into the natural. God will use your gifts to bring his supernatural, okay? Now, he will do that in any kind of thing that you do. Let me give you an example, a practical example that I just happened to see my wife saw this morning. I said, I'm going to put this in my sermon. We had a wedding this week, and it was a really beautiful wedding with two of our young people, Blake and Rachel, wonderful young couple. And we have the White Rose Company. They take photos for us here in the church. They're one of the people that take photos for us. And they shared on their Facebook page, they posted something. Watch this. This is what she wrote when she posted the photographs. It says this: yesterday was an emotional day full of many tears of joy. From California to Florida, God brought Blake and Rachel together for his divine plan. Already there, we see something happening. It was an honor to capture the first moments of their marriage and the beginning of their life as husband and wife. And then she quotes Matthew 19:6. So then, They are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Isn't that powerful? We see them using their gifts, but what they're doing with their gifts is they're giving God the glory. Now watch, because it doesn't end there. So we see a response by someone that's watching them. This is the response. Absolutely stunning. You are a talented, or you could say gifted photographer, Cass. I am so happy to see you having included Jesus in your business. After all, marriage was designed by God for God. What is she doing, this young lady? She is using her gift to glorify God. She is using what she's been given to give God the glory. What's God going to do? He's going to bless her. He's going to give her increase. Why? Because with what she has, she's giving him the glory. She's giving him the honor. And he will elevate and give her more as she continues to go on. And so her gift will become even better and even stronger. But there's another thing. Remember, every one of us has gifts. What you need to understand is a gift has the ability to inspire. A gift can be something amazing to watch, but it's not a gift that makes the difference. There is something required in order to truly bring change in people's lives. What's required is the anointing. What's required is the anointing. Now, before I even go there, let me say this. To try and explain or articulate the anointing to you is absolutely impossible. We are talking about gifts, and I'm going to stay in that space this morning. But the anointing is a big subject that truly the brain cannot comprehend because it's a very spiritual thing, actually. So to try and articulate or even explain or even study the anointing, you will only know so much. Okay? But what's very evident and very clear through Scripture is that the anointing comes to do something. The anointing comes to separate. The anointing comes to break the power of the enemy. Let's take a look at this real quick. Let's go to Luke 4, verse 18. Luke 4, verse 18. This is Jesus now, and he's reading from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Now, I need to say this. Yes, the Holy Spirit represents the anointing in some ways, but in this scripture, it's saying something very powerful. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. So the Holy Spirit has done something to Jesus. What has he done? He's anointed him. He's anointed him to do something, to bring something. What is it that he's doing? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, why did God anoint Jesus? God anointed Jesus to do those things, to bring freedom, to bring liberty, to set the captive free, to bring healing, to save, to deliver. That's why Jesus was anointed. If you think God will anoint your gift for anything different, you are wrong. He will anoint your gift, your talents, your abilities, so that you too can set the captive free, so that you too can bring deliverance, so that you too can bring healing. Your gift will be elevated and anointed, and everyone will stand and watch. And while they're watching what God does in your life, they will begin to come to salvation. Have a look. God anointed Jesus to do these things, to bring liberty, to set the captive free, to heal the brokenhearted. Look at this now. What was the primary purpose of Jesus? The primary purpose in John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The word saved is the word sozo. The word saved is the word sozo, which means far more than salvation only. The word sozo means to save, to rescue, to heal, to deliver. Doesn't that sound what Jesus came to do when he was anointed? You see, your gift that you have, your gifts, your abilities, your talents, what God has placed on the inside of you, when he begins to anoint them, that's when you go from entertaining to actually affecting lives. That's when he takes your business and elevates it so that everyone can see the man at the top is giving the glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why he'll take you in a business when you shouldn't get the promotion and give you the promotion, because it's the anointing, and it's the anointing that will affect the people around you and bring them to sozo, bring them to salvation, bring them to healing, bring them to deliverance. God has placed gifts on the inside of every one of you. Don't underestimate the Christ on the inside of you. Don't underestimate the gift that's inside you. All you got to do is you've got to get close to him. You've got to rub against him. You see, the word anoint in the Greek means to rub. It means to smear. It means to paint. In other words, the Bible says that the Spirit anointed Jesus. In other words, the Spirit was full. Jesus was anointed. He was rubbed by the presence of God, by the Spirit of God. And when he went out, he could set the captive free. He could proclaim liberty. He could touch the blind eye and open the blind eye. That's what Jesus could do with the anointing. There's no difference in your life. How do we get the anointing? What is the anointing? It's the presence of God. It's the presence of God. When you sing and you sing to God and you're a worship leader, if you sing to God and your heart is connected to his heart, the presence of God fills the place and people begin to scream. The demons come out. Healing begins to take place. The preacher can sit down and relax. Hallelujah. 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 I wanted to do this later on. You guys, the two of you. Yes, the two of you. Just relax, okay? Whether you come back here or not doesn't matter. But you are marked, young man. You are marked. Oh my. I've watched you for such a long time. I don't know why I watched you, but I did. When you walked in here this morning, God spoke to me, and it was like, this message is for you. And the reason why, son, is because God, when I say son, I'm not speaking now. God is saying to you that he will take you and he will separate you to himself, that he will anoint you. He will change you. There are people that stood at a difference, and they even said stuff like, that guy is strange. There's something strange about him. But God says, I take the peculiar people and I turn them into kings and priests. And God will elevate you, son. And the reason why he will elevate you is because when no one else has been around, when you have been in your secret place all by yourself, you have cried out to him and you have said, God, I will do anything. I want to serve you with all of my heart. Lord, all these things that you've placed in my mind, these visions and these dreams and these things I see, these things you've shown me, Lord, these amazing things that you've shown me, Lord, how do I do it? How do I get to fulfill these things? God says, I will lead you, I will guide you, I will be with you every step of the way. Son, the Lord says, you have been faithful in the little. Even when they pointed the finger, even when they mocked you, God says, you have been faithful. The Lord says, in days to come, not very long from now, I will elevate you. I will elevate you. And as I elevate you, God says, I know that you will elevate me. For I will confound the wise with you, says the Lord. Yes, I will. I will place an anointing on you, son. I will place an anointing on you. You will break the yoke of the enemy. The ideas, the things that you have seen, t-shirts, all kinds of things that you have seen. It's only the beginning, son. Those visions and dreams that you have had, they will come to pass. And remember, son, always give me the glory. Always give me the praise. Always give me the honor. In Jesus' name, let's give the Lord a clap and a shout. That's what the anointing will do when you use your gifts. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Man. Your gifts will do what Jesus came to do when they are anointed. When they are anointed, they will bring sozo to people. They will bring healing. They will bring deliverance. They will set the captive free. And they will bring salvation. Because as God begins to highlight your gift with His anointing, with His presence, people will automatically turn to the King. That's what happens. They turn to the King. Amen. We don't even have to preach anymore. The truth is that our gifts without the anointed are nothing more than gifts on their own. But once they are anointed, that's what makes the difference. Whether you're a businessman, a mom, a teacher, an athlete, a speaker, a singer, whatever it is, with the anointing, God can take you and use you for His glory. Without the anointing, all you will ever do is entertain and bring glory to yourself. Imagine this. Imagine, Tom, come up here real quick. I'm almost done, guys. Now imagine I'm a really good singer. I know it's hard to imagine, but just imagine it, okay? I'm a really good singer. He's not. He's just a normal guy, okay? No gifts, okay? I'm just kidding, okay? So what I do is I give him my incredible gift. I give it to him. I place it on the inside of him. I think spiritually a little bit here too. So now he has this gift that is really mine, but I give it to him, and he begins to sing. Show us how you sing. Okay, never mind. Just imagine it, okay? So he's now singing with this amazing gift, beautiful voice, and people are like, wow. But what he does is he says, wow, people are looking at me. Wow, people think I'm so talented and so gifted. Don't be like that now. What is he doing? He's taking the glory that belongs to me. Your gifts are not your own. Thank you, Tom. Go sit down. Thank you. What you need to realize is that the process that God will use to develop your character is so important, because God always looks at your heart. Many people are talented. Many people are gifted. You look at them and you think like, why are they not like at the top? Because God is taking them through process. And when they learn to give Him all the glory, when they learn to be just like, Lord, I don't really care what happens with my gift, I give it to you, something changes. A great example of this is David. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16, verse number 7. 1 Samuel 16, verse number 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, before God truly takes your gift and anoints it, look, there are times that God will begin to anoint you in your process as you walk with Him. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when He baptizes you in the Spirit, the anointing does come. But when God wants to start to elevate your gifting, you must have character. Your heart has to belong to Him. God knew that He could trust David. David had already killed lions. David had already killed bears. He was faithful, looking after the plain, simple little sheep before God anointed him as king. And even after he was anointed as king, there was still a process that he had to go through before God could really put him in that position. Allow the process. Allow God to use you. And I'm going to share more of this with you in the days to come. But let me just read what it says here. Verse number 8. So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. Here's another one that looks like the right one. Neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, all the young men are here. Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. What was God interested in? He was interested in the heart of the individual that he would anoint. Many of us have gifts, but our hearts are far from God. Our motives are not directed towards giving him all the glory. If you look at the way David approaches Goliath, it's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Does he know who my God is? And when you have that approach in your business, in your marriage, in your family, in your entire life, do you know who my God is? The gifts I have, the talents I have, they are not mine. They belong to him, but I trust him with everything, and he will anoint you to do the work that he's called you to do. David became the greatest king that has ever lived. Obviously, outside of Jesus. Amen. Are you guys okay this morning in Vero Beach? The world will appoint the best singer as the leader of the band. The athlete that runs the fastest will become captain of the team. If you have the right type of personality, will make you the CEO of the business. But with God, and in the church especially, it works differently. God appoints people in positions of authority based on character, and then he uses their gifts. But it's your heart, your character, what goes on with you when no one else is looking, in your secret place, where your victory comes from. Can you say amen? Amen. The primary reason that God will anoint us is for his glory. Isaiah 43 verse 7 says this, everyone who is called by my name, I have created for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Your gifts will bring God glory, but especially once he anoints them. Once he anoints them, he will elevate, he will push you so that people will see, watch this now, him through your life. They will not see you because you'll be shouting from the rooftops. One thing I like about that football player, what's his name? Tim Tebow. Man, they say all kinds of bad stuff about him. I don't know the guy. But his tenacity, his boldness, he'll take a knee for the right reason. He'll lift his hands and worship God for the right reason. And they stand and criticize, oh, he's finished. And we see him over, up, every now and then we see him again. God's busy doing something with him. Why? Because he always gives his voice to the king. He gives his voice to the king. And God anoints those people. And he wants to anoint you. He wants to anoint your gifts. There's no one in this room, and I'm going to say that again. There is no one in this room that God has not given gifts to. The question is, what will you do with the gifts that he's given you? The Bible says in Romans 11:29, for the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. In other words, God does not take your gifts away. That's why so many people make it big in the world. Because those gifts have been given freely. He doesn't take them away. But the anointing can lift. The anointing will not always be present. What does the anointing do? It saves. It delivers. It sets free. Listen, the Bible says something very powerful. It says that the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but in joy and peace and righteousness. When we step into the kingdom, when we give our hearts and our lives to the King, our gifts, everything that we are, what happens is those qualities of the kingdom not only manifest in our lives, but in the lives of people around us. Jesus came to set the captive free. The Bible says that the anointing will destroy the yoke of the enemy. That doesn't mean that it will just break it into pieces and you can stick it back together. That means it will utterly diminish, destroy, completely break the power of the enemy in our lives. God wants to take your gifts and anoint them so He can use you for His glory in everything we do in our lives. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, You are so good. Your presence is so clearly here this morning. We are so thankful for it, Lord, because the truth is, I can't do anything without Your presence, Lord. Father, I would speak in vain, but when Your presence is here, when the anointing comes, it has the potential and the ability to pierce even the hardest heart, Lord. I pray this morning, Father, that every person that is here will be touched by this word and will recognize that there is much, much more to them that meets the eye. Father, that they are not here by mistake, but You have created them and there are gifts on the inside of them. Father, I pray that You will reveal these gifts to us. And Father, as we begin to see the gifts that You have given us in all the different areas, from painting to doing business to singing to working in our jobs, in craftsmanship, in all the different things, teaching, whatever it is, Father, Lord, I pray that You would anoint us to do whatever it is You've called us to do so that our lives will be what Jesus said it would. Jesus said that You are the light of this world, and we should not take our light and hide it under a bush. Father, I pray that our light would shine. But that light is not our light. For You are the light of the world. You shine through us, Lord. Lord, let our lives bring healing and deliverance and peace and freedom to those who need it in this place, in our families, our businesses, our schools, everywhere we go. And we will always give You all the glory. We will always give You all the praise. And there is no one like You. And we are so thankful to You this morning in this place. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father, and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with you all as you go this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you guys.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.